Let us pray. Father, your word for us here this morning, for those who'd be hearing. Lord God, may we look to you by looking within and allowing you to speak to our hearts, to examine our lives on where they're being lived now, and examining our lives in light of what you would have us to be. Spirit of the living God, how we need the reality of you speaking to us and the promise it does not return empty. Thank you then for what you have. Amen. I want to be there. There's no way I want to miss it. And praise God, I know I will be there. I'm not going to miss out. Where? With Jesus when he returns. With Jesus when the rapture takes place, I will be there. Will you? Are you sure? Or will you be left behind? I will be with him then at that point, because I may be in his presence due to my death beforehand. It's coming, my death, I assume. And yours is too. Definitely a part of life and the realization of how short life can be. Or will I still be on planet Earth? If that's the case, I know I'll be snatched up. Rapazzo, lifted up, taken with him. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this body changed into my new body. It's a promise from God. I hold on to it. The reality of what he has said. For all those who are born again. Either to die and be in the presence of the Lord and then to come back with him during the rapture. Or down here to be changed in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up. I'm not going to miss it. I trust that you too are looking for it and anticipating. Now, there have been a number of other special events in my life that I'm so glad I wasn't missing out on. The birth of our 5 children, the privilege to be there for each one of them, the miracle of birth. And there he was, or she was, depending on the 5 individuals. Or the other side of life, I'm so glad I was a part of the funeral of my father, my mother, my sister, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. I had the privilege of preaching at all 5 of those funerals. They were exciting times for me. Tough times, tears, but a rejoicing because of the reality of their testimony. No, they were sinners. But each one of those 5 had a testimony of a life that was living out for Jesus Christ. And to be able to preach that with assurance, wonderful times. I'm so glad I didn't miss out on them. I want to suggest something else to you this morning that you and I should not want to miss out on. And that is the reality that we can have God's best for our lives down here, whatever remains of it. I don't want to miss out on God's best. And this morning in our text, we have 3 verses with 3 commands that if we take them to heart, we will not miss out on what God has for us. If we ignore them, if we put them off, well, we're the ones who will lose out in our ministry for God, and the reality of what he has for us in here, in spite of, and I have to repeat that, in spite of what we're going through. Because as I look around, even at you who are here now, life is quite tough in different ways. So what do we find? First of all, watch how you walk. Verse 15. Therefore, on the basis of where we've been, and we'll come back to that a little bit, be careful how you walk. This is the fifth time in our study here in chapters 4 and 5 in which Paul has used the term to walk. That's how you live. And it began back in chapter 4, verse 1, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have. Walk worthy of that calling. Verse 17, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walked. We are to watch and we are to be walking differently or living differently than they. In chapter 5, verse 2, we were to walk in love. Verse 8 of chapter 5, walk as children of light. And now it's be careful how you walk. Again, as we look at the walk, we see a pattern that Paul has had throughout. And that is he gives us contrasts. We had the contrast when we spoke of light, of darkness and light. We are light because of Jesus, who is the light of the world. His light is to shine through us, to live through us, and we're to have nothing to do with darkness. We saw with reference to the old self, and a sinful nature still exists within us, but the old self before I was born again. I remind you, no one was always born again. No one was always a child of God. When someone tells me, well, I've always been a Christian, no, you have not. Then you don't understand what the Word of God has to say on what it is to be a Christian and how you are to become a Christian. There was a time before the old self, and then there's to be the new, the contrast between the two. Well, this pattern continues, and here we have wise and unwise. The unwise are the foolish. They fail to use their heads. Some would call them airheads. Again, they live life by the seat of their pants, drifting along with no real direction, no real pursuit. Some days are on, some days are not so on. Anything but. Definitely not with Jesus as he would have us to live. John MacArthur shares, the ultimate destiny of fools is always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You may always be learning, getting more Bible knowledge, getting this and that, but not the wisdom to put it into your life and not the wisdom to stand upon something and to have your life change. Unwise or foolish. The wise, on the other hand, are learning to live a godly, disciplined lifestyle. Even the world sees the importance of discipline. You look at the Olympics that are coming forth now, what it is in Paris in 2024, and you look at these who have given their lives, many of them, from being a baby almost, right up on through. Discipline, 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 hour after hour after hour, practicing, 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 and so forth. Some of you know what it is to be proficient or somewhat proficient on a musical instrument. Once again, it takes practice and practice and practice and practice. People know the discipline when they want to get ahead in something. How much more for those who are wise to understand we need to be disciplined in a wise, godly way. For the Apostle Paul, you know what he said. For me to live, it's Jesus Christ. That's my priority. That's my goal. That's my everything. It's Jesus Christ. There was a time when I didn't know him. But when I came to know the salvation that he offers. Yes, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Things are different. They're supposed to be way different. Way different. Yes, the discipline of a wise life wanting to follow Jesus Christ. The discipline of a wise life that recognizes eternal values and lives accordingly. Eternal values. We'll look at that tonight from the perspective of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham, again, who was living with a goal out there. With a goal out there. And we are to be living the same way with a goal out there. With an eternal perspective as we go through life down here. Oh, coming through the holiday season, lots of good foods, lots of good times with family, I trust for all of you. Lots of, but the priority needs to be, it's out there. It's out there. Again, a contrast is given. We are to walk wisely and not foolishly. We're to walk with a discipline because we are wise and understanding eternity with reference to the down here and the now and the things that leave us so soon. And so consequently, care is required in the way we walk. Be careful how you walk. It speaks of the need for precision and accuracy as we step through. I had one of those moments when I parked my car this morning. And I started to walk from the car into the church here. And I had flashback moment of a few years ago when there was not much more snow out there than there was this morning. There was a crust. And I can remember standing as I tried to put my weight to push through the crust. And the next thing I knew, I was on the ground with a broken arm. Some of you remember those days. And that night when I preached with my arm in a cast. Not a cast, but a sling. Be careful how you walk. This morning when I walked very gingerly, very carefully, watching where I was and trying to make sure it was solid ground. I didn't come close to falling. I'm thankful for that. I'm not looking to fall. That was not pleasant, although it was not unbearable when I broke my arm. But again, we are to watch our every step as we walk through life with Christ and for Christ. It's too easy to stumble. If you are to walk and stay pure, we need to be alert. There's that battle, chapter 4, verse 11, the battle for our minds. There's so many things that are out there and so many voices that you hear if you're not careful. And it's so easy to slip and to go back into. You need to watch your steps, spiritually speaking, walking carefully. If we are to be the light that we looked at last week, which is to expose not just only our own sins, but the sins of others. Well, you're a hypocrite if you're concerned about exposing the sins of others and you overlook your own. That doesn't mean you give up trying to be a light to others or an example to others. But it means you're doubly careful. You know the one about not judging others? First take the telephone pole out of your eye before you go to the speck in your brother's. We need to be more mindful of ourselves and our walk and how we are living. But also then to realize we are to be examples to others. And we are to be concerned, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, the challenge once again to be our brother's keepers and to be aware of where they are at and to bear one another's burdens, even as we bear our own, but also realize that God has given us one another to help us with the bearing of our own problems. If we are humble enough and willing enough to allow that, desire that, and want that. And so, care is required. Be careful how you walk. We're not to be sleepwalking as we saw in verse 14 last week. Perhaps again a quote from a baptismal hymn back then. I was sleeping. I was dead to Christ. I was not awake to the spiritual world around me. But then I met Jesus Christ. And if you've met Jesus Christ, oh, hallelujah, the reality of knowing him and being able to live for him. No, you do not want to miss out on God's best for you. And if that is true, be careful how you walk. Walk wisely, not as a fool. Walk with purpose. Walk in such a way that God can work with you. And the wisdom of Proverbs read this morning, the wisdom of God's word in its entirety becomes more a part of us. Watch how you walk. Second, make the most of your time. Make the most of your time. The time we live in, we are told, is evil. Evil time. As we look at time, there are two Greek words that are used. One is chronos, chronology. Measure time, days and hours and minutes and seconds and so forth, chronos. The other is kairos, and that is the time known by its content, the time of the Depression, the time of the 60s, the time of Y2K, the time in which we are living even today. That's what's talked about here, not a specific moment on our watch. But the time in which we are living is evil. Galatians 1:4, and it speaks of Jesus who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. This present evil age. We're getting more and more glimpses of how evil our age is. Hearing again, and I guess we've lost president number two. Harvard and Penn have lost their presidents now. MIT, there's a call that this woman also be replaced by many because of the realization that you are not willing to say that that genocide you are calling for among the Jews, that that is evil, that that is wrong, that it goes against the code of conduct of your great universities. No, they weren't. And even the world is seeing the evil that is out there. And yes, October 7th, was it there in Israel, as they came out from Gaza and they butchered and so forth. There's only one word for it. Evil, evil, evil. Evil exists more and more around us. The anti-Semitism we see, but also the ongoing, the names that are coming out now with the unveiling of some court documents regarding wrongful use of children and women and so forth. I think most of you know what I'm talking about there. Again, it's being seen more and more of what's out there. The destruction that goes on in academia today with reference to the family and even binary identification. Totally wrong. We're just going to tear apart what God has to say from his creation order on. It's been throughout the centuries the basis for civilization and for keeping a wholesomeness in life. Male and female and marriage and children and family. And it's being torn apart in this evil age in which we are living. Having morality determined by majority, democracy, consensus. No. There is a standard, and it is God who sets the standard. And if we reject God, it's no wonder we're getting into more and more trouble. And we're seeing pictures on our TV screens, if we're looking at them, of what goes on in this world in which we live, where people are shooting indiscriminately. I can still picture the fellow coming across. He didn't like the judge who sentenced him, and he comes flying across the counter and tears apart the judge, or attempts to at least, until he is apprehended himself. The time we live in is evil. Paul wrote Ephesians. He wrote it from prison. He was in prison because of his stance for Jesus Christ. Soon, Peter and Paul will both die for their faith. Nero was insane. He was mad. Rome will be burned. The Christians will be blamed. And Christians will become more and more the lamps that light up Nero's gardens and so forth. Persecution and evil times were real back then. Even so today, more and more is coming. And Christians being butchered around the world. The persecution is coming to America. You're going to hear more of it. It's not just going to be the loss of your job or the potential loss of your job if you dare to speak out what the Bible says about whatever, whatever. Man doesn't want to hear it. Satan doesn't want to hear it. The Bible even speaks about the devil realizing that his time is getting shorter and shorter, and his intensity will increase in his persecution and his attacks upon those who would love to live for Jesus Christ. The time we live in is evil, and it's only getting worse. Consequently, it calls for wisdom in how we use our time. Wisdom in how we use our time. Notice what the text says here. I'm looking at verse 16. Making the most of your time. Some of your translations may read, or in the paraphrase or in the asides, redeeming the time. It's buying up the time. It's making use of the time we have. It's understanding once again what God has given to us. Make the most of your opportunities. I can remember being back in college over in New Jersey, Hoboken. One of the classes I had was an industrial engineering course. And basically what we did was walked around with a stopwatch. And we're looking at work that is being accomplished, and we're timing the various components of it. And how can we save time? How can we save time so that we can do more of the work and get more product and make more money? We are to be ones who are wise with our time. I have a poem here that I'd like to read again. It says this. It says, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. The minutes of our days, the minutes of our lives, they fly by. How much time do you have left to live? I think I referred to it this morning already that, as I understand the news for 2023, lifespan in America has been shortened. I'm sure due to COVID and the rest of it and so forth. But the lifespan has gone down. It's been going up and up and up and up and up, but it went down this last year. Someone has calculated, looking at mortality rates and how old we are when we die and so forth, they've calculated how much time you have left. What is the clock for you at what you are? Starting a day at 7 o'clock in the morning, okay? If you are 15 years old, it is now 10:25 before the day runs out. If you are 15 years old, it is 10:25 a.m. If you are 25 years old, your time is 12:42 p.m. The afternoon of your life has already begun. If you are 35, it is 3 o'clock. If you are 45, it's 5:16. If you are 55, it is 7:34 p.m. If you are 65, it's 9:55. 12 o'clock is coming. If you are 70, it's 11 o'clock at night. Well, I passed 77 years ago. I'm moving towards midnight, and the realization is there. Life is shorter than you realize. My wife says that all the time to me, all the time. She says I'm not old, just older. I disagree with her. We fight on that. But I realize, again, life is moving on for all of us. And again, there's no guarantee. I look at Anne here with a little one. And I will say, the youngest one here may be the first to die. We have no guarantees. We all realize that up here. But to understand, for all of us, your life is moving on. I go to an old saying on the wall. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Eternity's values, eternity's perspective. What am I living for? Again, we are to understand that we are to be wise and to make the most use of our time. You have kids at home. You have time now to train the kids. I see Vanya and Tima are on their way, I assume. They left the service this morning. They're on their way. They have to be there by 10 o'clock tonight. Again, life is moving on for all of us. We're going to lose 10% of our congregation, basically, off to college. Bob Jones University says we are the number one school. I was told that by one fellow down there who was vice president. We have more kids from Cornerstone at Bob Jones than probably any other church, percentage-wise, of where it's at. We have, what, eight or so down there, eight or nine or whatever, I can't remember exactly. But God knows, time to train the kids leaves. And that is one of the goals of parents, isn't it? They grow up totally dependent upon you as they're born, as we feed them, as we change them, as we discipline them and train them. But the goal is to train them to be on their own, to make their own decisions. And as father, as grandfather, I haven't always made the right decisions. But I tremble and it hurts when I see my kids or my grandkids or whatever making decisions that I would say, that's foolish, that's wrong, whatever. And God knows, but the goal is, again, to train. Time is now when you have them at home. Although it never stops even after they're out of the home. But it's also time to use your gifts involved in the service of the Lord. And I praise God as I put the bulletin together every week to see the families and the individuals, the various ones who spend time cleaning the church here. And we do that for lots of reasons. One, it saves us money. But two, it helps you to understand, again, that this building here is God's, but it's also yours, and you have a responsibility. And again, to see what we can do for the glory of God. But that's just only one way of using our time as we have it here. Yes, I'd encourage you to be at men's fellowship, and some of you need to be at women's fellowship. When we're not learning how to fellowship, we're not learning how to be obedient to God or to be the family that He wants us to be in reaching out to others. No time, time. Jesus was the one who said, work. The night is coming when no man can work. The end of your life, when you're in heaven, all your desires and dreams of what you're going to do for God, it's over with. In one sense of the term. It's here now while we're on planet Earth. Paul Toms was a pastor I respect that I have a number of his sermons. He was at Park Street Church, one of the big churches in Boston. We were up in New Hampshire for years. Paul Toms speaks of when he was a boy and they were on vacation at Birch Bay Resort. It sounds something up in Maine, but I'm not sure. But he was at Birch Bay Resort, and up there at the resort they would rent bikes. And again, Paul Toms is long gone. Back in his day, they would rent bikes by paying a number of pennies for the hour of renting a bicycle. You don't do that today. But there it was. He had paid his pennies to rent a bike. And he biked and he biked and he biked to make use of the time for a whole hour. And he was tired. And he decided, I need to stop. But then he thought about it for a moment. Wait. We've paid for a little bit more than this. We don't want to waste it. There'll be time to rest later. You hear me? There'll be time to rest later. I'm going to push on. I'm going to push on. Redeeming the time, making the most of your time. Vacations are needed. Come apart or you'll fall apart. Vacations are needed, I believe. I've heard Satan never takes a vacation. Why should you? Because I don't want to fall apart. And in my semi-retirement, I make use of extra hours here and there. And there are needs, or we need time sometimes to get away from the pressures of whatever we're working on or thinking on. There's a place for that. But again, as we speak of our day and age in which character and dependability are so lacking in so many, we need to understand also the work ethic of pushing on and developing godly habits. I couldn't help but think, I have it in my file somewhere from way back years ago, Pulpit Helps used to put out all sorts of things. I think it was Spiro Zoriadis, Mission to the Greeks, it was called at one time, who put out that for pastors. Remember, that's where I found out how to buy carpet for your house real cheap. You buy it directly from down in Georgia, from the mills, and so forth. But anyway, I can remember their comments such as, what's wrong with Mrs. So-and-so? What's her problem? She hasn't missed Sunday school teaching in 46 years. What's wrong with her? Again, that reliability or dependability, it's too easy to, not today. Hey, you know, it's snowing out there. Maybe the roads are going to be icy. I don't think anyone stayed home for that reason, although some churches closed, and God knows what they got compared to what we got. And again, we've always said it's between you and God and whether you go out on a snowy day or not. But all I'm trying to say is that it's too easy for us to, not today. Let me just throw it in. Let me not do this or do that or whatever. No, redeeming the time. Every one of us has 24 hours a day. Some of us have more money. Some of us have more strength. Some of us have more wisdom. We all have the same amount of time. The same amount of time. How do we use it? Jesus, are you in control of my clock? It was a sculptor's shop. He had his various products nearby. There was this one item that was rather strange. Where the face was supposed to be, It was covered over, chiseled over to look like hair so you couldn't see the face. And where the feet on this little creation was, the feet had wings on them. No face, no feet, but wings. The guest who was touring the shop asked the sculptor, "What do you call this creation of yours? And why can't you see the face? And why are there wings where there should be feet?" The sculptor said, "I call this creation opportunity. Opportunity because you don't always recognize it. You can't always see it. It's that momentary contact with someone. It's that thought to pray for this one. The opportunity to go and do this or whatever. You don't always recognize it as an opportunity from God. And the wings, it flies away. And you can't catch it. You've lost it. It's gone. Again, you want the best life that God has for you? Then we need to make the most of our time and understand how precious that gift of God is to each one of us. There's one final command here. Know God's will. Verse 17. Verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will is. God's will is God's purpose for us. Again, He has not created us just to live our lives, but He has created us to live our lives for Him and His purposes. He has saved us, it is clear, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But in verse 10, because we are His workmanship, we are created for His good works. We're all different. All different in so many ways. Our callings, our abilities, whatever. We're all different. And God works through us by changing us individually to be the best of what He has in mind for us if we're willing to listen and to change. We need to understand the purpose of our existence is to live for God. God wants me happy. Really? Where does it say that? Where does it say that in your Bible? It doesn't. But I hear it from far too many Christians. He speaks of a joy, not happiness. And a joy that comes in the midst of, I've talked to different people who are so out of it with reference to good health, monetary or whatever, but who have been filled with a joy that just beams from them. Because it's something that God gives as fruit of the Spirit on the inside. I've spoken to others who had wonderful health, all the money they could ever want, and then some, who are miserable. Miserable. I've seen these big houses, two people living in it with, you know, 5, 7, 8 bedrooms and 22 bathrooms and whatever. Can't even find one another inside of it. I don't think I'm embellishing that. I've seen too many of it and heard from too many. But to understand again, our purpose is God's will is His desire for us and how He wants to use us. It is where we will find the best use of the gifts that He has given to us, either natural abilities or unnatural abilities. God has a desire for each one of us. It you will find the most fulfillment of your time to be involved in serving Him. Some of you are learning to talk to others about Jesus. Some of you are embarrassed when some of us talk to others about Jesus. No, it is foolish not to want to know God's best for your life. It is foolish. We often think we know better than God, that He's going to take us and put us in a round peg in a square hole or vice versa or whatever, that's not where I'm going to fit in or where I would like to be. No, too often we feel God's will for me is beyond what I've already decided that I want for me. God's will for my life. Most of it is pretty general. Most of it is pretty general on what God has to say about us. How do we get to know it? Look at the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is a tremendous will of God for every one of us. This is God's will for you. Be thankful. Ooh. How are you doing with that one? Thankful in every situation, every circumstance? Yeah, I'd be thankful if I had this or had her or that or whatever. Really? No. Be thankful. So many songs that run through my mind, count your blessings, name them ton by ton or one by one, and see what the Lord has done and what I have compared to what I deserve. God's will is be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's will for your life, your sanctification. Your sexual purity, your growth in this day and age, God's will. Yeah, okay. But I want to know about some of these specifics here. And my response as I think about it is, why should God work on me on specifics that I'd like to know when he's already told me so much that I'm not willing to follow? If I'm not working on growing as a Christian, if I'm not learning how to be thankful, if I'm not, there are a whole bunch of those generalities, then why should he pinpoint, take that job? Don't date that one. Go in that direction. Whatever it might be. No, it's a relationship with God that is all-encompassing. Yeah. Psalm 25, verse 8 and 9, I want to read. Psalm 25, 8 and 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, because he's good and upright for you, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. Humble means that I recognize who I am before God. Humble is that I'm willing to submit to him in what he gives me. We'll talk about that in a moment as we come towards the end. But humble, wanting the will of God. There are two dangers. Some people are so fearful to make the wrong decision that they can't decide. I just realized that there's three of us, Horgans, with this shirt and this tie today. Just want you to know we all texted each other. Well, you know I didn't do that. But I hear I'm getting a cell phone tomorrow, okay? You've heard it first here after all these years. I'm not sure I can text, but I'm getting a cell phone tomorrow, I believe. But no, we didn't confer. But I lie in bed, usually Saturday night. What shirt will I wear? What did I wear last week? And I try and think back, and I want to wear something a little different. I decide to put this on, and then what tie then goes with it? I didn't pray an awful lot about it. Some people call it common sense, although I probably don't have too much common sense in dressing myself. But I like to call it sanctified common sense. Which means this seemed to go with this shirt, and those two at least confirmed it because they did the same thing. But what I'm trying to say is some people struggle about, maybe I'll sinfully take the wrong tie. I don't think too many of you are there. I think far more of us are on the other side of it. We don't even think about what would God have me do with whatever it might be. I take this job because I hate this one, and this one's got more pay. And I'll use my brother-in-law, Arnie, when he was looking for a place to live. I can choose a place to live near my job, but there's not a church there that I want to go to. The church I want to go to is over here for my family. And so he bought a home over near the church. As a matter of fact, they could walk to church. And he traveled, I forget how long it was, to his job. And it wasn't too many years later when God opened up a job a lot closer in Princeton, New Jersey, to where the church was. And I'm not saying God's going to always do that for you. But what I commended him for was his willing to put family in the right church as the priority, not over close to job or whatever. And again, just an illustration, not telling you to do the same. But to understand again, the will of the Lord. Don't get overly hung up on, is this sinful if I do that? Some things we need to be. But a lot it's sanctified common sense as you make decisions. But the danger is too often God is just left out of the whole process. Again, how does one get to know the will of God? John MacArthur uses 5 S words. I'm going to share them with you. Make sure you're saved. The will of God, number one, is to be saved. Your salvation. God wants you to really mean business with Him and be born again. Second, it would be your being Spirit-filled. We'll come to that in Ephesians 5 a little later. Spirit-filled. Remember what it is to be Spirit-filled. It's to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. To be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't let alcohol control you. But be controlled by the Holy Spirit so that He drives us. And that's an everyday occasion. Be being filled. We'll get to that in Ephesians 5, but that's what the command is. Every day, fill me, Lord. You control me today rather than me control me today. Rather than me giving in to my emotions today, You control me. So it's be saved, be Spirit-filled, be sanctified. His third S. You want to know the will of God? Be sanctified. The process of becoming more like Christ. And all that's involved there, and that's many sermons worth. The fourth is be submissive. Be submissive to God. We'll come back to that tonight with Abraham and obedience. Submissive, that I want to obey God. I want to obey authorities that God has in my life. Wives, your husbands. I've gotten in trouble with some women who did not want to hear. It did not say, be a doormat. But when your husband says you should go here, he is the head of the home, according to God's views on marriage. Again, a wise husband listens to his wife. But a wise husband leads the wife and the home, even if she's not willing. Be submissive to authorities. And the fifth S, he says, if you want to know God's will, is suffering, being willing to suffer. Again, Peter, when he tells us to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, who suffered without complaining, our Jesus, who suffered knowing it was the will of his Father for him. Yes. Again, to understand the will of God. I had some specifics mentioned here, and I'll very quickly, clock is moving, but very quickly, make sure you pray. We don't have because we do not ask. We do not pray. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask. And do I believe God answers his prayer? Ask. The Word, again, there's no way we're going to grow without the Word. I'm still working on, no, Tim, I'm not ready for tonight for the verse I'm supposed to have memorized. I'm still talking about being captured and taken by the hook and the net and so forth and rejoicing and be glad. I need to work on those verses. And my memorizer, you know, you've heard me enough now. I can't think of a name, I can't think of a word or whatever. It's leaving me, part of it. But I still work at it. And during the week when I'm working on those verses for the week, it helps me to be thinking about, again, those verses for the week and God behind it. Redeeming the time. I drive often with my finger inside that little ring on the steering wheel. And here's a red light. Boom, I can look at it and so forth. Redeem the opportunity. I've normally carried a magazine with me. You stand in line at a store or whatever. If I'm not passing out a tract to someone, I'm reading or trying to. Again, we're all different. But learning how to redeem the time and make use of them for Christ's sake. And so it's the Word. I need the Word. Thirdly, submit to God's authorities. We talked about that a bit. But submit to God's authorities in your life. Your boss on the job, the teacher in school, President Biden. Again, there reaches a point with all of the authorities where if it has to be, I must obey God rather than man, then be willing to accept the consequences of disobeying that authority. Again, it's all part of another message and then some. Number four, circumstances. Circumstances. I knew for a fact that God wanted me to move to a church in New Jersey and the pastor of the church in New Jersey. There's one problem. There were five on the board who were to say yes or no to me. Four of them said, yes, we want you to come. One said, no, I wasn't called. Okay, God, that's got to be your will then. I accepted that. After they said no to me, they changed their rules and said, we don't have to be unanimous, and so forth for the next guy. But God knew that. And again, it's learning to accept circumstances. When God closes a door, he opens a window. Possibly. Possibly. But circumstances again. I'm sure I'm going to be. But God doesn't give you the ability to be. Circumstances, learning to accept. That verse, some people have hated that verse. Christians. All things work together for good. Yeah, the death of my child. All things work together for good. Yeah, the girl said no. All things work together for whatever. Do I trust God that he knows what's best for me in my life? And there's some suffering there. There's grief there at times. But that's all part of the joy that God has for us if we're willing to follow him. Circumstances. Number five, counsel. And again, verses on Proverbs. Be careful who you ask for wisdom. You've heard that many times here in Sunday school and so forth. We often go to the people who are going to agree with us already, who we know are going to affirm what we've already decided. You want to make sure you go to mature Christians who love you enough to speak the truth and tell you what you perhaps don't want to hear but need to hear. Counsel. Six, commitment to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, acknowledge him. He's promised. God, you will lead us. And no, I haven't always made the right decision. But I think I can pretty much say I've always wanted to make the right decision. I definitely do now, even as I speak. But commitment to the Lord and then his peace within. And just be careful about peace. It has been well said, you had the peace and left me with the pieces. That's been well said. Make sure it's the peace of God because your motives are pure and that you're really seeking and want what he has for you. This life is an amazing adventure. Thursday night on visitation, I went someplace I should have gone years ago. Phil and Ann Schwab. You don't know them, I don't think. Anyone know Phil and Ann Schwab? You know of them. My wife definitely does. We've been praying for them for years. They moved into this area 6 years ago, and I haven't gone down to try and find where they live. And talking to my sister and brother-in-law, I still haven't gone down to see them. I better do it. And so I done did it Thursday night. They're down in Ville Valley. That's what Norwegians call it, because they can't say, well. But anyway, what a complex. Gated community. You have to tell them where you're going, who you are. Get a visitor's pass. How many people are here? Well, there's two sections to Ville Valley, 2,600 people. It's a miniature city, 2,600 people. And the retirement home that they live in, that we visited in, is the Cadillac Supreme. These places, grand pianos all over the place, things glittering, and woo! Woo! I got in there to see them. I knocked at the door. They had no idea I was coming. I get a big hug from her. She's now 81. He's 79. Get a big hug from her. I think I should know you. I said, you hug all the men that way? And he says, that's Pastor John Horgan. You recognize me. Phil and Ann were youth pastors when I left Salem, my home church. A young couple there. I found out that they had met at Columbia Bible College. They did not know that Diana's uncle was the music director they sat under. They did not know that our grandpa was popsipley that they had had for classes and different things down there, but that's where they met. He also went to Trinity and became missionaries with TEAM, the Evangelical Alliance Mission, a Scandinavian mission board. Served in Taiwan for many years. After Taiwan, they went to Hong Kong for 2.5 years. After Hong Kong, they wound up in mainland China for a number of years. And now they've been out. They're involved in helping start a church in the middle of a place called Lancaster, It's an immigrant church of, I believe, Muslims that they're working with down there. I said, Chinese? Oh, no, there are no Chinese here to speak of. I said, well, you've got the manor right down the road. There's Chinese buffets. He said, yeah, we know that. But there are relatively no Chinese to speak of, is what they said. Relatively not. But we went back and we talked about people from Salem. And Bibby Seashore, who just died, she was 99 years old. Bibby means nothing to you. Bibby and Byron. I can remember seeing a duet up at Camp Spofford with Byron Seashore. They were missionaries to Congo, Belgian Congo, Zaire, for years. And wonderful Bible teachers and so forth. We were talking about them and just looking back on people and others who were heartaches because they did not walk with Jesus. But again, as we were there, just talking and looking and seeing and realizing the sweetness of fellowship because of Jesus, it was a foretaste of heaven. To understand again the reality of being able to look back and see, God, you were there. And God, you were there. And God, you were there. And God, you're here now. Yes. That's the reality of what God has for you. And the best that he wants for you, as well as me, if we're willing to go all the way with him. Watch how you walk. Make the most of your time. Know God's will and be submissive to it. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for three simple commands stuck in the middle of Ephesians 5 as we continue to see the ethical applications of what is to happen if and when we are truly born again. You know each of us out here. You know those who are struggling. You know those who are not saved yet. You know those who are looking faithfully to follow you. Father, I ask your wisdom and I ask your blessing upon each one. And Father, that we would see once again, yeah, the way of the cross leads home, as another song runs into my mind. And it leads home. And there is a home that awaits us. And we'll look at that some more tonight. The beautiful promise of what you have in store for each one who knows you personally. Holy Spirit, take the word now this morning. And where I've spoken and where I've spoken rightly, Father, take it and apply it and drive it home. Give no rest, no comfort where things need to be yielded to you. Give encouragement, Father, and hope for those who love you and are seeking to follow you with all their hearts, even as I long the same for myself. Thank you then for the word this morning. In Jesus' name.